Okay, hello everyone. Shalom. Nice to see everybody for those who I'm able to see, and thanks for being here. And again, like Rebbetzin Cement said, we should be zocha to be together. I'm always nervous to say to be together, at Stern together, because if we're already going to be together, we might as well be together in Yerushalayim. We might as well go big if we're going for it. But at the very least, we should be able to learn in person, God willing, soon. But for the time being, let's try to be mechazik ourselves together. The title of the shiur is Thermostat or Thermometer, Advice for Staying Spiritually Warm and Inspired. So I guess I should explain that title. The winter, I find, I'll speak for myself, and I imagine it's not presumptuous for me to assume that many feel this way. The winter is sometimes a hard time in the life of a human being. When it gets cold and it gets dark, and it's hard to wake up when it's dark, and you go, it gets dark by the time you're stepping out of class. For those who have the chance to step out, it's like always dark and it's always cold, and that can be very emotionally and spiritually scarring. It can be very difficult, and I think especially in light of kind of the way that we're living now already, many of us, and there's talks about new lockdowns. Lo aleinu, we shouldn't know from it, but there's like this sense of kind of feeling trapped again. Whether it's the weather or whether it's just the situation at large. And I was thinking about what I wanted to speak about today, and I remembered a comment that someone in shul made to me about 5 or 6 years ago after I finished giving a shiur. This fellow came over to me and he said, when I was a kid, when I was in camp, there was a division head, a head counselor, who used to say to the campers, "You have to make a choice in life. Do you want to be a thermostat or do you want to be a thermometer?" What does that mean? So he explained to me, he said, a thermometer measures the temperature of the environment around itself. A thermometer is able to assess the environment and to be able to read the environment. But a thermostat is able to control the environment. A thermostat's able to influence the surroundings and to create the environment. And he used to say, he said, and it had such an impact on him as a child, that when this camp counselor used to say, as Jews, we have to try to be like a thermostat, not a thermometer. We have to try to create the reality that we want to live within, to make the space, to make the environment, to make the situation the way we want it to be, and not merely respond to whatever life sends our way. I want to begin with a famous medrash. It's a medrash that I imagine some of us have heard before, a medrash Tanhuma, which really outlines the purpose of creation. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, b'sha'a shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa olam. At the moment that God created the world, what was the intention? What was the game plan? What did Hashem want from this world? And the Medrash tells us when Hashem created the world, it was an expression of Hashem's nis'ava. Hashem had a desire. Shiyeh lo dira b'tachtonim kamo shiyesh b'elyonim. Hashem wanted, so to speak, a place down below, a dira, a dwelling place in this world, just like Hashem felt that he had a dwelling place in the higher realms. There's a Rashi in last week's Parsha when Avram says to Eliezer, he says, I want you to swear in the name of the God of heaven and earth. And then he tells him a little bit about his own life experience. And Avram says, and when Hashem, the God of the heavens, took me from my parents' home. So Rashi says, why did he first refer to Hashem as the God of heaven and earth? And then he refers to God of the heavens. So Rashi says, because when Avram was growing up, God was only somewhere out there. Avram Avinu, over the course of his lifetime, was able to make Hashem not only the God of the heavens. That was the ancient way of thinking. If there's a God, it's somewhere out there. Avram was able to bring Hashem into this world. And that's Hashem's greatest desire. Again, the Medrash says, Nis'av shielo dira b'tachtonim kamo shiyesh b'elyonim. Hashem wants a place down here like Hashem feels he has a place more naturally, so to speak, up there. And the Medrash says, Ein Masai, when was that achieved? Kishehu kam ha-mishkan. When the Mishkan was established, when we built that place, that Mishkan, that Beis HaMikdash for Hashem, then Hashem said, now I finally have a space. Now I finally have a place. I was thinking just today, the whole world is Hashem's. What does Hashem need a Mishkan for? Hashem created the world. That's his space. I mean, he shares it with us, okay, but that's Hashem's space. Why does Hashem need us to create another smaller space within the bigger space? HaKadosh Baruch, the whole world is his space. Why does he need this little space? And I think the answer is very simple and very profound. Hashem is saying to us that it's true. Sometimes you have a big space, you have a canvas, so to speak, this big backdrop where life is taking place. But sometimes a person needs to find a more specific space, a smaller space, a space that you can create with greater care and greater detail, and to mold that space and to say, this is really my space. It's true, I exist in the world. And Hashem is the creator of the world. Hashem knows everything about all the corners of the earth. Hashem knows every little hideout in the world. And yet Hashem says, but I want a special space. I want kind of my own space. And that's, I think, that model that Hashem is modeling for us, of what Hashem wanted in creation, has to be what we want also in creation. In this week's parsha, we learn about the space of Yaakov and the space of Esav. And I want to thank my mother, who happens to have, I allowed her to sneak in. I know she's not in Stern. I hope she doesn't get in trouble. I think she's keeping her screen off to remain anonymous. But I was talking to my mom last night, and I was saying, what should I talk about? And my mom actually got me started in today's shir, so I want to express my hakaras hatov and welcome her. And she had listened to a shir, and she mentioned this pasuk to me. We were talking about this pasuk together. How is Esav described? Where is Esav's place in the world? Vayigdalu hana'arim, in source number 2, vayahi Esav ish yodea tzayid ish sadeh. Esav is a man of the field. Esav is a guy who's out there. V'yakov ishtam yoshev ohalim. And yet Yaakov is an ishtam, a man of wholesomeness, of simplicity, in a positive sense. He's yoshev ohalim. Yaakov dwells in his tent, or really tents in the plural. What is an ish sadeh? Let's talk about Esav for a moment. What does it mean to be an ish sadeh? So there's a sefer called Ramzei de Chachmasa. I know one Torah, I know one idea from the sefer, but sometimes it's worth it to have, to buy a sefer just for one idea. And in many ways, it's the centerpiece of what I'm trying to share with you today. In the sefer Ramzei de Chachmasa, he quotes from the first Ger Rabbi, the Chedushei Harim. What does it mean that Esav is an ish sadeh? And he says it in one word. And it's actually in Parshas Miketz. It's not even in this week's Parsha where he writes it. He writes in the name of the Ger Rebbe, Ki mishum hachi yira nekrabayis, a person who has fear of God, a person who has yira shamayim, is a person who has a house. The Gemara says yira is called a house. Why is yira called a house? There's a lot to think about there. Yira is called a house because yira means that I live within boundaries. My life is not a free-for-all. I create a space for myself. I have a structure. I have a space. I have walls that define what I do and what I don't do. Mipnei shehu gadur b'mechitzos. The reason the Gemara calls Yira, fear of heaven, a bias, is because, again, it's a person who dwells within walls. Shelo la'asos ma shelibo chafetz. A person who doesn't just, live life on a whim, where everything is a spur-of-the-moment decision. Hefech mizeh haya Esav ish sadeh. And you know what the opposite of a bias is, of a true bias is? You know what the opposite of Yira Shamayim is? It's the life of Esav, and it's defined by two words in the Parsha. Ish Sadeh, a man of the field. What does that mean? That means he had no place. There's no specific place, and in one word he says, Vehefker. The Ger Rebbe explained, it's a life that's what? That's chaotic. A life that doesn't have structure. A life that doesn't have boundaries, doesn't have walls. The same way Hashem created a world and then said, but I need to have an even more defined space called the Mishkan in order to feel satisfied. A million times over, we need to have that space in our life. But again, like a thermostat, we have to create that space. We can't expect that space to just, create itself automatically. Not to merely respond to our environment, but to create the environment that we want for ourselves. Where do I want to be in life? And how am I working to create that space? And I think that's why, and I found that Rav David of Kutsk, the son of the Kutsk Rebbe, said this. Rav David of Kutsk explained that when Paro assigned the Mialdos, the Jewish midwives, to kill the Jewish babies, and they refused. They refused to go along with his diabolical plot. Paro, who had this awesome influence, the greatest power, the leader of the world power at the time, Mitzrayim, and the Jewish Mialdos, those righteous women, decided, we're not going to kill the babies, were going to protect those babies. What is the reward that Hashem gave them? The Chumash tells us an interesting reward in source number 4. Vayihi ki yaru hamiyaldos es Elohim. Because the miyaldos, because the midwives feared Hashem, yira, vayas lahem batim. Hashem gave them a house. Why did Hashem give them a house? I mean, it's nice to have a house. Houses are sometimes expensive. I don't know what type of houses Jews had in Mitzrayim. Maybe he gave them a nice place to live. And the Rishonim have all sorts of explanations, but on a simple level, if you have Yira, if you have fear of God, if you're willing to push back against the society around you that tries to influence you in a negative way, the way that power was influencing the Mialdos, the reward is batim. The reward is that they're given a space, that they're given a place to call home, their own environment. Environment is such an important part of defining our lives. The reality is, as human beings, that we're influenced by our surroundings. I don't think any of us can deny that. We might not realize it, we may not think we are, but we are. And by the way, it's very much a reality in our world today. Any one of us who uses the internet, we don't realize how much our, you know, this is not a conspiracy theory. You can watch the Senate hearings from yesterday, and you can watch Ted Cruz go at it with Jack Dorsey, the head of Twitter, and you'll see with your own eyes how much these people are involved in our lives. The ads that pop up on your screen, the things that are being, the information that is being sent your way, there is so much influence from one's surroundings. And if I don't create a space for myself, it's impossible for me to think for myself. It's impossible for me to be the Jew that Hashem wants me to be. Hashem himself, who created the world, was the controller of the world, says, I need a Mishkan. So all the more so, we need to create that environment for ourselves. Let's learn the famous words of the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, where the Rambam describes the nature of human beings to be influenced by their surroundings. The Rambam writes in the sixth parak of Hilchos Deos, Derech briyaso shel adam lios nimshach b'deosav uvemaisav achareyav v'chaverav. It is the way of people. It is the way, it is the nature of human beings to be drawn after the ideas and the actions of their friends and associates. That's the reality. Who do you spend time with? Where do you position yourself in the world? And it doesn't have to be your closest friends. A person is influenced by their medina, by their country, by their city, by their neighborhood. Lefichach, therefore, says the Rambam, Tzarich adam lischaber letzadikim. We need to attach ourselves to righteous people, to good people, to positive influences. V'leishev etzel chachamim tamid, kedei sheyilmod b'maaseyem. Be around people who can influence you in a positive way. We can learn from their actions. You can learn from their speech, their mannerisms. There's so much to learn from watching, without even interacting, just watching a person who's a righteous person. V'yisrachik min ha-rasham aholchim b'choshech. And distance yourself, says the Rambam, from fools, from wicked people who walk in darkness. Kedei shelo yilmod b'ma'aseyem. And he quotes the words of Shlomo HaMelech, Holech es chachamim yacham, if you walk with the righteous, with those who are wise, you'll become wise. V'roech silim yeiroa. But if you associate with wicked people, so your life is going to be ruined by that. Or how about the opening pasuk of Tehillim, that I'm sure many of us recognize. Ashrei ha'ish, asher lo halach ba'atzas v'shaim, uvederech ha'taim lo amad, uvemoshav leitzim lo yashav. Look how David HaMelech says, don't hang out with them, don't sit with them, don't be influenced by them, don't live amongst them. Don't be with a rasha, don't be with a sinner, don't be with a leitz, a person who doesn't take life seriously. Put yourself in an environment where you can interact with people who are going to be a positive influence. And then the Rambam ends this passage by saying something remarkable. Let's say you happen to live in a place where it's hard for a person to get away from one's surroundings. Let's say for whatever reason you're living in a part of the world and there's no other option for you. You're not able to move to a different neighborhood, to a different community. You're not able to seek, you know, this safe haven somewhere else. What should you do? Says the Rambam an amazing thing. Let's see, I'm going to use my superpower. Oh, okay, she muted, great. Okay, Rebbetzin, Samantha and I have superpowers. We can mute and unmute people. Okay, but if anyone has a question, feel free to unmute. And, you know, if you have an insight, please jump in. So says the Rambam, if you're living in a place where there's negative influences around you, if everyone in your neighborhood is lo tova, and the Rambam says, kamo zmanenu, look what he writes here. If you're in an environment where everyone is bad, like I experienced in my time, the Rambam was living in Egypt. The Rambam wasn't living in Yerushalayim either. O she'ena yachol aleches l'medina, and you're not able to change your location to go to a place. Either because of what? Either because of, I don't know, government decrees. O mepnei choli, you can't travel because of COVID-19. Whatever it is that's forcing you to be where you are, says the Rambam. Yeshev levado yechidi, then be comfortable. Learn to be comfortable dwelling alone. Hashem also dwells alone. As much as we're with Hashem at every second, and Hashem's with us at every second, Hashem also has, in a certain sense, a very lonely existence. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives on his own. So be comfortable on your own. Learn how to be comfortable on your own. Create a space for yourself that you can actually grow and enjoy. Become that thermostat. Set the temperature to whatever you want it to be. And the pasuk in Iyov says, Yeshev badad v'yidom, sit alone in solitude. And the end of that pasuk is, Ki natal alav, because you'll get great reward for it. Find yourself a space. The Rambam says, sometimes a person has to run off to the hills or hide out in a cave. He uses very interesting lashonos here, to distance oneself from negative influences. But whatever it takes to create that environment for yourself. I just started reading. Someone gave me a great book. I'm sure some people are familiar with it. It was a New York Times bestseller. I have it right here. It's called Switch. Anyone here familiar? Anyone read this book? Switch, How to Change Things When Change is Hard by Chip and Dan Heath. Two brothers. They write very interesting books. They've had quite a few bestsellers. And they describe, at the very beginning of the book, they describe an experiment that someone did where people came to a movie theater and they handed out free popcorn. And they gave out two different sizes of popcorn. Some people got a smaller bucket of popcorn. Some people got a really big bucket of popcorn. And they gave out a free soda as well. The soda was fine. The soda was delicious. The popcorn had been popped 5 days earlier and was very stale. It was horrible. It was like squeaky when you would bite into it. And then afterwards, they asked people to stick around. They wanted to ask them a few questions. And they found that people who were given the bigger bucket of popcorn ate more of the disgusting tasting popcorn, simply because they were given a bigger bucket of popcorn. And they said, it's so interesting. It's so interesting. The popcorn is the same popcorn. And people afterwards were trying to explain why they ate more popcorn, not realizing that the situation that they had been put in, right, was what was causing them to eat that wretched popcorn. And they write in the book, they write on page 3, they say, so often in life, we look at a situation, we think it's a person problem, it's a people problem. Right? Teach people to have more self-control, to eat less popcorn. Maybe it's not a people problem. They said, maybe it's a situation problem. Maybe if you would have just had a smaller bucket, if you would have just been in a different environment, change the situation, change the environment, and automatically you'll get different results. So I know it's not always easy to find that space or to create that space, especially, again, when you feel that you've been cornered. And that's what the Rambam is describing here. Sometimes it's hard for us to find that space or to make that space. But again, thermostat or thermometer. Do we want to just measure the environment and always be like Esav, who's an Ish Sadeh, taking in everything from outside of ourselves? Or do we want to be more like Yaakov, who's Yoshev Oalim, who creates his tent, he builds his tent, he makes the environment that he wants for himself? The very first mitzvah of the Torah is the mitzvah of Pru Urevu. The Chumash says in the first parak of Bereishis in source number 6, Pru Urevu Umil'u Es Ha'aretz, a command to really not just Jews, but to all of humanity, to populate the world. Pru Urevu, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Mil'u es ha'aretz. I want to contrast that with a pasuk that the Jewish people are described by in their experience in Galus Mitzrayim. The pasuk says in Shemos Perek Aleph, in source number 7, B'nei Yisrael paru v'yishritzu v'yirbu. Okay, also fruitful, growing, multiplying in Mitzrayim. V'yatzmu b'ma'od ma'od. They became very strong, very powerful. V'atimalei ha'aretz osam. And the earth was filled with them. Mitzrayim was populated with Jews. I want to contrast these two psukim in just a moment. But first, let's try to understand these last three words for a second. V'atimalei ha'aretz osam. What does it mean that the land was filled with Jews? Where did the Jews live in Mitzrayim? So you'll think back and you'll think, Goshen. The Jews lived in Goshen. Yaakov Avinu, he sent Yehuda ahead. Yehuda set up shop over there. The Jews lived in Goshen. Says the Netziv, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Elazhin, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in his Perush on Chumash, the Hemek Davar, he says, not so simple. Vatimalei ha'aretz osam. Says in its Siv, if the Pasuk is telling us that the Jews were growing in Goshen, so then it should have said, Vatimalei ha'aretz mehem, that ha'aretz, their land, Goshen, was filled mehem from them. What is Vatimalei ha'aretz osam? Says in its Siv in the second line of source number 8. It's ba lelamed de lo eretz Goshen lavad. The Jews were getting out in Mitzrayim. They were all over the place. When Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, Yaakov planned ahead and said, we got to make a space for ourselves. They made a place called Goshen. But all of a sudden, as you know, the community grew and Jews started to branch out, so they started to live all over the place. Vatimalei ha'aretz osam. The Jews were found everywhere. And then Netziv says, you know what an amazing proof of this is? And I never thought about this. Makas Bechoros. In Makas Bechoros, what does the Pasuk say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where does the Yom Tov come from? The name of the Yom Tov, as at least the way we refer to it, the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos. But we call it Pesach. U'pasach Hashem ala Pesach. Hashem was passing over the houses. Why is Hashem passing over houses? Don't the Jews live in the ghetto, in their little Jewish community? And the answer is no. They had infiltrated Mitzrayim. They were all over the place. So Hashem is literally going door to door saying, Jewish house, not Jewish house, Jewish house, not Jewish house. A Jewish house is in a row, a couple non-Jewish houses in a row. Vatimalei ha'aretz osam, they're all over Mitzrayim. And says the Netziv, that's part of the problem. That wasn't a good thing. The Netziv says, kol zeh ba mishum, shu latzeis meiratzon Yaakov Avim. They didn't stick to the master plan. The plan of Yaakov Avinu was that the Jewish people need to create a space that's ideal for Jewish living. That's what Eretz Goshen was about. But as soon as the Jews started to spread out of Mitzrayim, that specifically, going back to the Pasuk, that's specifically when Paro says, we know something about this Jewish problem. When a Jew tries to find his place in the world by being an Ish Sadeh, that's the legacy of Esav. That's not the legacy of Yaakov Avinu. So now let's contrast this Pasuk at the beginning of Bereishis and this Pasuk at the beginning of Shemos. What's the difference between Pru Urevu Umilu Es Haaretz versus Vatimalei Haaretz Osam? The Chasan Sofer, who is the grandson of the Chasam Sofer, Shmuel Ehrenfeld was his name. He writes such an insightful thing in Parshas Bereishis. He says the difference between Peru Urevu Umilu Es Haaretz versus Vatimalei Haaretz Osam is, I'll define it in one sentence. Do you want to fill your environment? Or do you want to be filled by your environment? Again, it's the question that we began with. Do I want to be a thermostat or do I want to be a thermometer? Do I want to create the environment or do I want to be molded by the environment? Says the Chasan Sofer, what's the difference between these two psukim? Pru urevu umilu es haaretz. What does that mean? He explains, nira al pi hayidua. We can explain based on what is known to us. Sheshleimas kol haberuim toloi be'im Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom. The success of the entire creation. And again, as I always tell my students, it's not a bragging right. Being the Am HaNivchar, being segula mikol ha'amim is never a bragging right. It's a responsibility. Hashem has charged us with making the world a better place, of shaping the environment. Pru Urevu doesn't only mean have children, if Hashem blesses a person with that opportunity, but Pru Urevu means be fruitful, be productive, be helpful to the world around you, umil'u es ha'aretz, and fill the earth. Fill life with meaningful content. It's known to us, says the Chasan Sofer, Sheshleimas kol habruim toloi be'im Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom. The success of the world is dependent upon the Jewish people being leaders in the world. And everything, the space that Hashem has created, the world, gives us the tools to make the world into an ideal space. And when I take from the things of this world and I use them in the right way, then I elevate them and they achieve their purpose as I achieve my purpose, as we collectively achieve our purpose. Pru Urevu Umalu Es Haaretz means Dahainu, where it's bolded. Sheteitivu Darchechem V'sisasku V'avodaso Yisbarach Shamo Shetimalu Atem Chisaron Haaretz. Take responsibility. Pru Urevu Umilu Es Haaretz. Hashem says, I want you to fill the Chisaron of the earth. Find a void, find something that's imperfect, and get involved. Because when people don't do their job to mold the earth, to mold and shape the environment, then the earth is entirely lacking. And then we end up living in a very selfish and a very irresponsible way. And he said that's exactly what happened in Mitzrayim. Vatimalei ha'aretz osam can be translated that what? That the earth filled them. Vatimalei ha'aretz, the earth filled Osam, them. They became filled by the earth. In Mitzrayim, the Jews weren't being leaders. They weren't molding their environment. They were kind of just spreading out and making their way into society instead of creating society. And because of that, they were filled by the earth. That's the challenge that Hashem says to creation. You can either fill my world, or the world is going to fill you. The world is going to swallow you up. One of my students said to me, I was talking to him today, and we were talking about, he was saying how he feels that sometimes he's not sure exactly where his space is in the world. He was saying it in terms of, his hashkafa. People are always trying to define their hashkafa. So he was saying to me, he's like, Rabbi, I don't know what my hashkafa is. He was saying, I sometimes get confused as to what my hashkafa is because I do this, but I do a little of that. So he says to me, I thought it was such a great line. He said to me, he's like, Rabbi, sometimes if people ask me what my hashkafa is, I just tell them that my hashkafa is the shrug emoji. The emoji of like, I don't know. That's like the response to like yes, no, maybe, all of the above. He said, that's my hashkafa. My hashkafa is the shrug emoji. I thought that was such a good way to describe how we feel sometimes in life. Am I filling the earth? Am I being filled by the earth? Am I influencing my environment? Am I being influenced by my environment? And again, that's the challenge of creation. Let me share two stories to highlight this point. There was a mohel, there's a mohel, a rav. His name's Rabbi Shlomo Miller. So he told the story. He said, when I was a boy, I was learning in when I was a young person, I was learning in the yeshiva in Haifa. And the Rosh Yeshiva one time had to go he was traveling somewhere, and he asked me if I would escort him, if I would come along. So I had the privilege to travel with the Rosh Yeshiva on this trip. So we get in the car, we're traveling. He said this was before Eretz Yisrael was as settled as it is today. We're traveling along the roads, and it's still in Eretz Yisrael today. You see these long stretches of, land in between settled areas. He said, we're driving along kind of this big, empty area for a long stretch of land, and I'm kind of looking out the window, taking in the scenery of Eretz Yisrael. It's pretty desolate. And he said, all of a sudden, the Rosh Yeshiva says to me, he says, Shlomo, what do you see? So I look out the window. I don't know. Rebbe, nothing out of the ordinary. He says, Shlomo, look carefully. What do you see? So he says, I look out the window, and I see in the distance, I see this, this Bedouin, this Arab boy, about 10 years old or so, and he's leading this huge flock of animals. There's some sheep, and there's some cows, and they're all following this little shepherd boy, this little 10-year-old Arab shepherd boy. So my Rebbe says to me, the Rosh Yeshiva said to me, he said, Shlomo, what do you see? I don't know. I see a boy with a lot of sheep. I don't know. Rosh Yeshiva, what do you see? So he said, Shlomo, you got to pay close attention. He said, let me ask you a question. You see all the animals, they're walking on all fours. Why is the Arab boy, this young boy, why is he walking on 2 feet? Why isn't he down on all fours like the animals around him? There's so many more of them, and they're actually bigger than him. They're stronger than him. I'm sure many of the animals are older than him. Why is he not walking on all fours like those animals? And the Rosh Yeshiva explained to me, said Rav Shlomo Miller, he said, the Rosh Yeshiva explained to me because even this young boy understands, as he's surrounded by this flock of animals, he understands very well that I'm different, that I'm a human being. And human beings carry themselves differently than animals. And the Rosh Yeshiva said to me, Shlomo, remember that. Because in life you're going to be in situations where you're surrounded, where there's an environment around you, where everyone else is doing something. Remind yourself that you have to hold yourself to a higher standard, that you carry yourself differently. The Pasuk says in the Chumash about the Mishkan, Atzei Shitim Omdim. The beams of the Mishkan were Omdim. And Rashi explains they were Zokuf Lamala. The beams had to be positioned not horizontally, but the beams of the Mishkan were built vertically. My friends, what's the message? The space that Hashem created for himself, the Mishkan, the beams stand erect. A person has to be able to carry oneself sometimes in a strong way, in a tall way, to be able to stand up to one's environment. To not be influenced just because you're amongst a flock of wild animals, to be influenced by those animals. The second story I want to share with you is a story about the Baal Shem Tov. It's an amazing little story. The Beis Aaron, Rav Aaron of Karlin, writes in Parshas Bo. He said that the Baal Shem Tov one time was traveling, Rav Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, and it was almost Shabbos, and he had to make a space for himself for Shabbos. And he's in the middle of this big field, so he builds himself a little enclosure, a little Erev. And there were some animals, there were some wild animals, there was a horse and a donkey, and there were some animals just wandering around in this field. And the Baal Shem Tov started to recite the beautiful songs of Kabbalah Shabbos, the words of Tehillim. And as the Baal Shem Tov was Mekabel Shabbos in his little space that he had created for himself, the animals which were walking on all fours, take the word of the Beis Aaron, Rav Aaron of Karlin says, the animals that were walking on all fours, all of a sudden, they got up on their hind legs and started walking on their back two legs. Imagine? All of a sudden, the horse starts walking around. And Rav Aaron of Karlin said that Tzadikim, who would tell this story, said it was obvious. because the Baal Shem Tov made the environment. When the Baal Shem Tov lifted that space up and brought in Shabbos, he transformed the whole space, the opposite of what Rav Shlomo Miller was learning from his Rosh Yeshiva, from Haifa as a young boy. Not only does the Arab boy not go down on all fours when he's surrounded by animals, because he understands that what? That he's greater than an animal. But as a human being, we have the ability to influence the environment, to lift up the animalistic parts of earth. The Baal Shem Tov literally had animals walking on their hind legs because he had such an influence on the place. That's called being a thermostat. That's called setting the temperature. That's creating the environment. And sometimes, again, like the Rambam told us, the environment is less than ideal. But that doesn't mean that we have to surrender to the environment. There's a Mishnah in Meseches Krisos that begins with a story. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Sha'alti es Rabban Gamliel ves Rabbi Yeshua be'itlaz shel imum. Rabbi Akiva says that one time I asked Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua a question in the itlis, in the meat market of a place called Imum. Why is Rabbi Akiva telling us where he asked this question? Why were we in the meat market, by the way? The Mishnah says, Shaholchu likach behema lemishta benosh Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel's son was apparently getting married, and they went to buy meat. I guess you didn't order a caterer back in the good old days. You have to go get the meat yourself. So Rabban Gamliel, the father of the Chosson, was going with his friend Rabbi Yeshua to buy some meat from the meat market in Imum in order to celebrate his son's wedding. And Rabbi Akiva said, at that time, I caught up with them and I asked them the following complicated question in Meseches Krisos, which deals with karis. Not the lightest of conversations. Writes Tosfos on that Mishnah in Meseches Krisos Daf Tesvavim at Aleph. Tosfos says, you know why the Mishnah is telling us where this conversation took place? Lahodia Shivchan. You know how awesome it is that most people go to the meat market and they're busy handling on the prices, and yet, while Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva are living their life in the real world, buying meat at the supermarket, they're also able to maintain a Torah conversation. Sha'af al pi shayu trudin hayu oskin b'divrei Torah. Even though they were so busy with real life, they were in the Sada, but they were still creating a bias. They were still creating an Oel like Yaakov Avinu. They allowed themselves to what? To create the language of that environment. Even though there was probably a lot of noise going on around them, they made it into a place of Torah. So why can't we do the same? Why do we sometimes say, this place is not fit for religious growth. This place is not a place where I can get close to Hashem. This is not an environment that I can learn. Remind yourself of this Mishnah. They found a space and they made a space for themselves. Yosef HaTzadik was in Mitzrayim. And he was all alone for a long time. And he finally comes back and he has that awesome encounter, that very special encounter with Yaakov Avinu. They've been apart for so long, they finally meet up. And Yosef and Yaakov, that reunion, and they're hugging and they're kissing. And Rashi tells us that Yaakov Avinu is reciting Shema. Yosef is hugging, he's falling on his father's neck and he's crying. Yaakov's like, oh, hold on a second, I just have to say Shema, Shema, Yisra. Very strange Rashi, strange scene after years of being apart. Yosef had a message. Yosef had relayed a message to Yaakov Avinu. When Yosef first informed Yaakov Avinu by way of his brothers that he's alive and that he's thriving in Mitzrayim, how did he introduce himself or reintroduce himself to his father? How did Yosef describe his experience in Mitzrayim? Yosef sent the following message. It's these words right here. Samani Elokim la'adon l'chol Mitzrayim. Dad, I've got great news. Samani Elokim, God has me. And Adon, I'm a leader in Mitzrayim. You'd be so proud of me, Dad. I know we left off, we were learning together. I was 17 years old. I was sitting by your side in Shir. I was your Talmud Muvhak. I was your best student. We used to learn Torah day and night. But Dad, you'll be very proud of me now. I've climbed the ranks. And now I'm one of the top officials. One of the top government officials in Egypt. Right? Oh, yeah, yeah. Terrible news. What happened to my tzaddik of a son? This is his big accomplishment. You know, he got all these degrees in Mitzrayim, and he's got some plaques on his wall. Look, Dad, I got this accreditation, and I got this degree, and look, I'm a successful governor in Mitzrayim. What was Yosef really saying to his father? His father, whose whole life was defined by Yaakov Ishtam Yosef Olam, he wasn't bragging that, Dad, guess what? I'm a successful secular politician in Mitzrayim. That's not what he was saying. You know what he was really saying to his father? Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, explained in the Imre Das, he explained as follows. Klomar, you know what he said? Dad, you know what the news is? Samani Elokim la'adon l'chol Mitzrayim, can be read as follows. Som ani as Hashem. Sheyehel Adon al kol Eretz Mitzrayim. Samani Elokim. I have placed Elokim as the master of Mitzrayim. I taught the Egyptians about God. That's good news. That's exciting. I'm a lone soldier. Yosef Atzadik was all alone in Mitzrayim. And Yosef says to his father, Dad, you should know, these people have more belief in God ever since I came here. Samani Elokim. Samani Elokim. I have placed Elokim as Adon b'chol Mitzrayim. Isn't that great? And you know what Yaakov Avinu's response is? Says Rav Meir Shapiro, Yaakov Avinu's response is, Yosef, good start, but Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It is not enough for us to merely influence any one part of the world, any one environment. Yaakov Avinu says we have to believe that what? That when a Jew creates the right space for himself, he can influence the whole world. Ramaz lo Yaakov. Yaakov alludes to him, he hints to him. In their first encounter, Al Yidei Kriyashma, Ki ein dai bezeh bilvad. That's not sufficient. Rather, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Yesh laham lichas Hashem al kol ha'olam. When we say Shema, we say Echad. We hold on to the Ches, we hold on to the Dalid. Ches means the all the way up to the heights of heavens, the different heavens above. And Dalid is the Dalid Ruchos Haaretz, the four directions of earth. Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, let's keep molding the space. Let's keep changing the environment. Let's keep lifting up the world around us. So my friends, for our final source today, and this was the insight that my mom shared with me last night, that she had heard in a shir, Rav Yisrael Meir Druck, Shlita from Eretz Yisrael, in his Sefer Eish Tamid, his Sefer on Chumash, he asks a question on that pasuk in our parsha that we've been talking about today. What does it mean that Esav is an Ish Sadeh, and Yaakov is Yoshev Oalim? We haven't really explained it fully. We've only tasted it. Let's taste it one more time. Says Rav Juk in the final source, Yesh Ledaktik. We need to understand. Why is Esav an Ish Sadeh? And Yaakov is not called an Ish Oalim, but he's called what? A Yoshev Oalim. What's the difference? Explains Rav Juk in the second paragraph, Nira Lomar. She'etzem ha-metzius basadeh. Like we learned above from the Ger Rebbe. An Ish Sadeh means a person who's Hefker. A person who's not trying to live within boundaries, within walls. A person who's not trying to mold an environment. And Ish Sadeh means a person who automatically is influenced by his surroundings. She'etzem ha-metzius basadeh. Simply by being in the field, hofeches es ha'odem lios Ish Sadeh. Just by being in the field, automatically you'll be an Ish. You'll be a somebody in the field. You'll be influenced. You'll become part of whatever that society is. Whatever the norms, whatever the cultural norms are. Whatever's trending in that place, that will become you. Ish Sadeh, if you just put yourself out there, you'll be molded by that environment. Esav didn't have to work to become an Ish Sadeh. However, Yaakov Avinu, it wasn't enough simply what to enter the space. He's not just an Ish Oalim. Because when you're creating a holy space, it's not just enough to just happen to be there. Yaakov is a Yoshev Oalim. Yoshev Oalim means a person who sits in that place and is contemplative. He sat there and he thought, and he studied, and he immersed himself in that place. He connected to that place. He created the space, and then he made that space great. As we learned today, you could find God in a meat market. You could find God in Mitzrayim. But we try to be like Hashem and make a space. But it's not enough, just to conclude, it's not enough to make a space. We have to also shape that space. To be Yoshev Oalim means to try to make that space into what it can be. Not just to create it as a theoretical, you know, construct, but to be Yoshev, to be purposeful, to be thoughtful, to be productive in that space. Rav Druk concludes, he quotes from Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Halevi, who said that a lamdan, a learned person, is not a person who has a good mind. A lamdan is not a person who knows how to learn. A lamdan is the term that we give to someone who studies seriously. A person who learns a lot is a lamdan. Not someone who could learn a lot, but a person who's Yoshev Oalim, who puts in the time to really, to do it, to live it. The same way a ganav is not a person who knows how to steal. A ganav is a person who steals. If you want to be a Yoshev Oalim, said Rav Chaim Brisker, it's not enough to just enter into that space. You have to try to immerse yourself in that space. So that's my bracha to all of us. Coming back to where we started, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest desire was to make a space for himself in this world. To create that smaller space, which Again, where Hashem has the thermostat, where Hashem can set the temperature exactly the way He wants it. The whole world is Hashem's. But sometimes we have to create with a little more thoughtfulness and a little more attention to detail the environment that we want to dwell in and to live in. So as winter comes and as we find ourselves indoors, you know, make the space. Don't just be a thermometer. Don't just respond to the cold outside, the spiritual cold of winter. Right? Be a warm Jew, like the Baal Shem Tov used to give people a bracha. I bless you all. You should be warm Jews. You should create an environment that you're able to continue to grow. And Amir Tzashem, we'll be able to create that miniature Mishkan in our life until we're zochet to come back to Yerushalayim together and have that space, that Beis HaMikdash that we all long for each and every day of our lives. Thank you all for being here. And like Rebbetzin Cement, anyone who wants to stick around,